Yes, I hear
Okay,
you.
I'm sorry. I'm so
Okay.
sorry. It didn't work earlier this morning. I apologize, Your Honors.
Well, I get settled and then you may proceed.
Perhaps my argument would be better on mute. We'll see. May it please the court. My name is Meredith Esser. I'm arguing on behalf of Gregory Lozado. Although this case presents a number of interrelated issues, I would like to start with the primary argument that we presented in the briefs, which is that Colorado felony menacing is not a crime of violence under the guidelines, under this court's precedent in United States versus Titties, but also after Borden. I think Borden bolsters our argument that the felony menacing statute is not a crime of violence. I want to focus first on under the categorical approach, just reiterating the principles that conduct that sweeps more broadly than the guidelines definition of crime of violence or violent felony can't qualify as such as a crime of violence. And the Colorado felony menacing statute sweeps more broadly than the guidelines definition for several reasons. First, which this is the primary argument that we raised in the briefs, it's clear that under the plain language of the statute, conduct done for purposes of whimsy, humor, or prank would fall within the definition of the Colorado felony menacing statute. And this court's precedent makes clear that kind of conduct can't qualify as a violent felony. For example, anything that was done for purposes of a joke, as the Titties case makes clear, wouldn't qualify as a crime of violence under this court's precedent. And as we argued, because of the definition of Colorado felony menacing, that kind of conduct would fall within the statute, and then therefore the statute is broader than the definition of a crime of violence. That's because the Colorado statute criminalizes knowingly by any threat or physical action, placing or attempting to place another person in fear of bodily injury. But the Colorado Supreme Court has said that this can happen regardless of whether or not the offender had a conscious objective to cause fear in another person. So essentially, even if the objective of the offender's actions was not to cause fear in another person, the offender could still be prosecuted under the statute. So even if there was sort of a joking objective, the offender could be prosecuted under the statute. Secondarily, there's language in Titties that specifically says that and this sort of goes along with this argument, a threatened use of force under the guidelines requires, or under the guidelines or under the ACCA, requires an intent to use force and a communication of that intent a communication of that threat. And again, the Colorado statute does not require an intent to use force. Under the People versus Crump case, which we cited, an offender can be prosecuted under the statute regardless of whether there was an intent to use force or an intent to cause fear. And then thirdly, our argument is that Borden bolsters all of these interrelated arguments, in that Borden makes clear that force for purposes of the definition of a crime of violence or violent felony requires that the conduct be taken against another, or that it's targeted at another individual. I think that Borden just lends further support for the primary argument that we have made under this court's precedent in the
Let me ask you about Borden. Borden says, I don't know, four or five, maybe a half a dozen times, that knowingly is sufficient mens rea to make it a crime of violence, to make a threat a crime of violence. You agree with that?
I agree that Borden discusses the mens rea of knowingly. And I think that Borden says that sometimes knowingly is enough. But I think that in this particular instance, where Borden also says that the conduct be directed specifically at another person.
No, it doesn't. It says directed at, but it says if the mens rea is knowingly, meaning that the actor may not have intended to hurt the person, but knew that what the offender was doing had a high likelihood of hurting the person, then it was a crime of violence or a violent felony. I guess it was violent felony in Borden. They repeat that several times. And Colorado Supreme Court has made clear that that very definition of knowingly applies to the Colorado statute. So it seems to me that if Borden does anything, it resolves an ambiguity against you, saying that it doesn't have to be intentional if it's knowing. What am I missing in Borden?
I have a couple of points on that. First of all, I don't think Borden says that every single knowing crime is a crime of violence. And I think, you know, the argument, our primary argument is that this specific statute can also encompass conduct for purposes of whimsy, humor, or prank. And so I don't.
That's want, a different issue.
I don't want to imply that the Borden, our Borden argument somehow also encompasses that other issue, which makes the statute overbroad. I would also like to point out that there is a more recent, a very recent case from Colorado that basically clarifies the standard for knowingly in Colorado. And there is the term practical certainty has also been used interchangeably with more than merely a probable result. And that's a case called People versus Magana from 2002 in the Colorado Supreme Court. I can give you the citation for that. And so
go ahead and give it to us.
Okay. It's People versus Magana, M-A-G-A-N-A, 490 P3rd, 948, and that's from 2020.
Okay. And that's a Colorado Supreme Court case.
Yes.
I've got it right here. It says it's Court of Appeals Division 5, I think.
Oh, it's sorry. Yes, it's a Court of Appeals case.
Okay, and it also says it's 2020.
Yeah, 2020 case.
Yep, but that it's cert granted by the Colorado Supreme Court. So this case is still proceeding through the system up there.
And well, the language that it discusses, the more than merely a probable result, cites other cases from Colorado.
Okay. Well, counsel, how do you get around the language of the Colorado Supreme Court? It's satisfied when the offender is aware he is placing or attempting to place another person in fear of imminent serious bodily injury by use of a deadly weapon, regardless of whether he had an objective to create the fear.
I think the second phrase of that quotation from Crump is really what we're resting our argument on, which is that that the person can be convicted of this offense regardless of whether or not they had a conscious objective to cause fear in the other person.
Well, that's exactly what Judge Hart was asking you about earlier.
Could you clarify?
It's clear that he doesn't. He may think he's not doing anything, but he's knowingly placing. We're attempting to place another person. Now, that's not accidentally. It's not recklessly. He's aware that he's placing or attempting to place another person in fear of imminent serious bodily injury. Now, what is so vague about that?
I think that one can know that they are placing a person in fear without actually intending that result. So, for example,
No, you can't say that because he's aware that he's placing or attempting to place, not that he did it by mistake or that he woke up in a dream.
I guess so this kind of goes to what the definition of knowingly is versus intentional conduct. And I think there are lots of ways that a person can know that they are
reckless. Under Borden, if it's reckless, it doesn't count.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay. And this is not reckless. This is knowing.
I also agree with that, but I think as I mentioned, I don't think that Borden says that every single knowing crime would be encompassed by the definition of a violent felony. I also think there is a distinction.
Why do you say that? It seems to me it says exactly that four or five times. Why do you say it doesn't say that? It says knowingly, and they define knowingly the same way as the Colorado Supreme Court.
There would be other crimes, such as the crime at the Oklahoma crime, which actually had a willful mens rea, which, I think that it's maybe a Venn diagram. I don't think that every single crime with a knowing mens rea would be under the Borden rationale if there were other reasons.
Well, that's because you don't think Borden overrules, abrogates titties. I think it does. I think we're probably wrong in titties after reading Borden, because we were thinking it had to be intentional. I don't see how you can reconcile titties with Borden.
I think that the reasoning in titties was there were several different ways that the court got to the result that it did. But I think that the whimsy, humor, or prank was kind of the primary rationale for the court's decision in titties.
Right. And that is inconsistent with Borden, isn't it? Borden says, I don't care what your intent is. If you know that it's, as a practical matter, it's highly likely to happen, then you're covered by the statute.
I think that the way that this court, I think I'm just repeating myself a little bit, but it seems as though the rationale is more about a joking intent is not enough to get you over the crime of violence threshold.
That's what we said, because
regardless of whether of the specific mens rea in the statute. If I may, I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay.
So when you come back, I'd like you to address whether the Colorado felony menacing applies by its plain language only to knowing conduct. And how does that fit in? We reserve that for your rebuttal.
Okay.
Mr. Farley?
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. Borden explicitly said that against the person of another sets out a mens rea requirement of purposeful or knowing conduct. It said that a defendant acts knowingly when he is aware that a result is practically certain to follow from his conduct, whatever his affirmative defense. Colorado felony menacing requires a mens rea of knowledge, and Colorado law says that means that the person is aware that his conduct is of such nature or that such circumstance exists, and a person acts knowingly with respect to a result when he is aware that his conduct is practically certain to cause the result. This is the Supreme Court of Colorado in Aragon referring to Colorado Revised Statute 18-1-5016, which sets out the mens rea definitions. Therefore, Colorado felony menacing requires the defendant to be aware both that he is placing or attempting to place another person in fear of imminent serious bodily injury, and that his conduct is practically certain to cause the person to be in fear of imminent serious bodily injury. This offense specifically requires knowledge that the act or attempted act will place another person in fear. Borden requires the offender to direct his action at or target another individual, but does not require specific intent as to the effect his action will have upon that individual. An offender's knowledge that his conduct is practically certain to cause the victim to be in fear, as required by the Colorado statute, is sufficient. The government's concession in a different case in the District of New Mexico concerning New Mexico's general intent requirement is pertinent insofar as Borden appears to abrogate Ramon Silva, because New Mexico aggravated assault doesn't require specific intent or even knowledge regarding the person who is reasonably put into fear. So contrary to Borden, the New Mexico statute is satisfied by bystander assault, where the defendant places a person in fear while directing or targeting the act of someone else. And you explain this, Judge Hartz, in your dissent in Ramon Silva, that the intent required is not satisfied simply because the offender intended to engage in certainly bodily movements. The necessary intent is an intent to apply physical force against another person or to induce fear of such force. That's exactly what Borden is telling us. I think where we get high centered on this issue is how does general criminal intent fit in with knowledge? And again, Your Honor, you pointed out that general criminal intent is extremely vague and subject to many possible meanings. I know Professor Lefebvre said that it is recommended that the specific intent versus general intent distinction be abandoned, as has been done in the model penal code. But here we are. At bottom, the New Mexico general intent sweeps more broadly than the Colorado counterpart because of that second part of the definition in the Colorado statute, which requires the near certitude that this result, a particular result, is going to follow. In New Mexico, the defendant doesn't have to be aware that the result is practically certain to follow his conduct. So, looking at the whimsy, humor, prank issue in Titties, certainly my read of it is that there, in that statute, there was a string of alternative means which could be satisfied to commit the statute. And those alternative means included the whimsy, humor, and prank without any purpose of threatening or intention of discharging a firearm or injuring anyone. And so this court said, and this is at 852 F3rd 1272, the offense does not always require a threatened use of physical force. Because when we're looking at ACCA, when we're looking at the career offender guideline for a crime of violence, threatened use of physical force is what we're looking for. And what we had in the Oklahoma statute is the whimsy, humor, and prank did not require threatened use of physical force. Unlike the Colorado statute, says, you can use a gun or a fake gun to cause a person to reasonably believe the article is a deadly weapon. And it requires knowingly placing or attempting to place another person in fear of imminent serious bodily injury. So the physical force threat, which was lacking in the Oklahoma statute, is very much present in the Colorado statute. Now, I haven't looked at the Court of Appeals decision from 2020, which has been discussed. I was trying to kind of quickly look at it on my phone, but I'd be happy if the court would like to submit a 28J on that. I would submit this much. It's a Colorado Court of Appeals decision. It cannot overturn the Colorado Supreme Court's decision in Aragon. And so I think it was Judge Carson indicated he saw that it was cert had been granted. So that may have to run the course there. But I'd be happy to respond to that if the court would like me to respond to that in writing.
So what do you think about Judge Hartz's question about whether Titties is still good law in light of Borden?
My reading is that, and again, I've read that case a bunch of times trying to figure out exactly what was going on there. It seems that the whimsy, humor, prank did not require threatened use of physical force. And so even though there might be knowledge, let's say general intent, under Oklahoma law as to the action taken. This court said that those means do not entail a threatened use of physical force, because you have to have force, even if you have knowledge, even if you have specific intent. If your specific intent is only to engage in a prank and not threaten force to anybody, if that's, you know, the elements of thing, that's going to take it outside. So we have to have the force and we have to have the knowledge. And I think, as this court said, again, in Titties, the Oklahoma statute can be violated by threats of physical injury, but it is far broader, reaching actions taken for purposes of whimsy, humor, and prank. So my reading at the court there was contrasting. Yeah, threats of physical injury certainly suffices, but there's this additional category over here where we don't have to have a threat of physical injury. So I think that's why that stat, I don't know if Titties is incorrect. I think it appears to be saying that that particular statute was overbroad before Borden. I think it's still overbroad after Borden. And the fact that it's inherently overbroad, the Oklahoma statute, doesn't call into question Colorado's narrower statute. That's why this court's prior precedents on this issue, whether it's Heron or Armijo or the Damaso Mendoza case in the immigration context, which we discussed, those are all good law. I think they are undisturbed by Borden. In fact, one could say Borden sort of reaffirms their correctness.
Let me try to clarify what I sure meant, should have said about Borden and Titties. It's Titties may still be incorrect in the resolution of the case, but to the extent that Titties is read as saying, even if you knowingly threaten force, that is, you know that there's a practical certainty that something's going to happen, you're not excused just because it's a prank. That's really as far as take us, I think. But you don't need to get that. You've made your point. You don't need to go into general specific and all this other stuff. Do you have anything more to add at this point, Mr. Ford?
Just to pick up on the end of that, Your Honor, you know, Borden really sets out sort of two aspects of the knowledge requirement, that you're undertaking the physical act, whatever it is, and that practically certain to follow, you know, the result. And I'm not sure, now that you asked me the question, whether the Oklahoma statute uses knowledge in the same way as the Colorado statute. And I guess I would want to go back and parse that on that point. But
thank you,
it may be. All right. I am prepared to talk about the remand if you wish. If not, if the court rules for the government on the felony menacing question, then I think the scope of the remand issue is kind of irrelevant. So if there are no questions, I'm happy to yield my time.
Well, you're saying if you lose on the Borden issue, say, or the Titties issue, however you want to frame it, you're saying there's a question about what should happen on remand?
No. I'm saying, assuming you agree with me on Colorado felony menacing being a qualifying predicate, it's not necessary for this court to reach the scope of remand question, which both parties have briefed. That's what I'm saying. If you disagree with me on that, then you will have to remand for a resentencing.
Okay.
Is that?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. You have I'm not sure how much more time you have. 2 minutes, a little over two
thank
minutes.
Thank you. Just one point about the Oklahoma statute. It actually requires a higher mens rea than the statute in the Colorado statute. It requires willful conduct, willfully pointing a gun at someone. And so in that regard, it's actually a more culpable statute and a narrower statute than the Colorado felony menacing statute, which only requires a mens rea of knowingly. And I think, you know, it seems that the government agrees that prank conduct that's taken for a purpose of a joke or a prank would not qualify as a violent felony or crime of violence under this court's precedent. And I think to answer Judge Kelly's question, I think there are examples of that kind of conduct being prosecuted under this statute, conduct that is purely intended as a joke. And so I think, you know, again, just drawing from the language of Titties, which says pretty clearly that conduct that's intended as a joke isn't a crime of violence, I think you can draw a line from that to the conduct that has been prosecuted under the felony menacing statute. And, you know, obviously we submitted that example of a kid being prosecuted for pretending to be playing Fortnite. But I think there are a lot of other examples that one could come up with, just, you know, spooking a friend or even, you know, this wouldn't necessarily be joking. Well, yeah, spooking a friend or playing a game of
assassins. Let me just say, it seems to me that you talked about Venn diagrams earlier, I think. Were you the one who spoke about Venn diagrams?
Yes, I am.
Well, I think that might be relevant here because I'm not sure that willfulness encompasses all of knowingly. In other words, it could be a willful prank under Oklahoma law and you'd be prosecutable under the statute, even though you didn't know that serious harm would result. So I'm not sure that willfully automatically encompasses knowingly is what I'm saying. So that's why Titties could be quite correct in its result, even though the Colorado statute may include a prank when it's done knowingly.
I see that I'm out of time.
You can respond if that's something that was coherent enough to be responded to. You may.
At the risk of repeating myself, I still think that there's a way under the Colorado statute. I mean, it only requires knowing physical action, and it doesn't it says whether or not the offender has a conscious objective to cause fear. That's from the Colorado Supreme Court case. So, I mean, it seems as though even though that's a case interpreting the felony menacing statute, that the result is the same under both statutes.
Thank you, counsel. Case is submitted and counsel are excused. Shall we go one more before a break or you want to take a break now?
I'd like to take our break now.
Then let's take the break now and we'll adjourn for 10 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. At this time,
I should say reset.
I'll put everybody in the waiting room until 10:25.
Okay. Thank you.